Connecticut healthcare providers, large and small, they received hundreds of millions of dollars through the Federal CARES Act. The act created something called the Provider Relief Fund to help those in the medical profession who have stepped forward during this pandemic. Yet there have been questions about how the funding was distributed. Acute care hospitals received some of the biggest pandemic payouts from the $170 billion fund. This is according to data through June 22nd. Now, hospitals in Fairfield and New Haven counties, the hard-hit southwestern part of Connecticut, they got more money than the rest of the state. Six of the top 10 fund recipients are hospitals in Fairfield and New Haven counties. Hartford Hospital got most of the money from the Provider Relief Fund in Connecticut, almost $63 million. Hospital officials declined. They're declining interviews, saying it doesn't, saying in the statement, the federal money doesn't meet the financial losses that they've been experiencing throughout the pandemic. The Connecticut Hospital Association explained how hospitals lost millions prior to and during the coronavirus. They increased bed capacity, competed on the open market for expensive PPEs, deferred surgeries and tests, and ran up staff overtime who were serving coronavirus patients with extraordinary needs. Well, there is a little bit of a controversy that comes to this because there's some money that I guess can't be explained as far as where it went. To discuss this a little bit more in depth is a person we have on usually the first Friday of every month, but I think it was, what happened last Friday? Oh, I took the day off. That's what it, oh, no, I didn't take the day off. It was our 4th of July holiday.
Yeah, we had the day
off. We all had the day off.
Station holiday.
Yeah, that's right. NBC Connecticut Chief Investigative Reporter Len Bestoff. Len, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Gary?
Great, my friend. How are you?
Doing well. You know, I just took a nice run and standing near a fan in my basement trying to cool off.
I was going
to
say, it's oppressively humid out there. Well, I guess this is probably a better hour to go for a run than, I guess, later on when it pours and the humidity climbs even higher, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's great when you run it this time of day. You don't have to put on sunblock, too.
That's a great point. By the way, you could come in here next month if you'd like.
Good to know.
Yes.
We may get to that. I got to check with my folks at NBC and make sure that works with them because we're still, you know, doing all kinds of, kinds of things that we need to do.
Of course.
But I know that things have loosened up, certainly.
Well, a little bit. I mean, I didn't say you could, you know, stay here for 8 hours, but you don't. You don't anyhow. So you could come in and do your, we can do your segment and in person. It's always great to see you as well, Len.
Yes. No, I like coming in and doing live radio. That's part of my roots, where I started. So, and probably where I'll be at some point again. I love doing radio.
Wow. Okay. That'd be great. We'll have to write this down, and maybe we could have Len in the studio next month. So, what's going on with this hospital money here?
It's still a really good question, Gary. Frankly, we're still drilling down on this. We may be having some subsequent reporting on what we've done already because there are questions as to who got the money, what are they doing with it. The Connecticut Hospital Association, as you were saying, is saying that they have tremendous losses that they still, you know, haven't totally tallied up, and they're not sure they will ever recover that money. But then there are other people questioning and saying, well, how did you get the money that was distributed? For example, and we're talking about the Provider Relief Fund. It's about $170-175 billion, hasn't all been distributed yet. It's done through the Department of Health and Human Services. It's part of the CARES Act. How would I explain this? Essentially, one of the first rounds, for example, was strictly decided based on your 2018 revenues. Because they were just trying to get it out very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have cases where hospitals may not necessarily have really had many patients at all, but they got a lot of this money.
Well, how is that allowed?
Again, DHHS says that was the first round, and as they had subsequent rounds of money let out, that there were more criteria they had. But, you know, we're talking about $175 billion nationally. It's a lot of money. And, I mean, you were just saying some of the numbers. I mean, Hartford Hospital got over $60 million. St. Francis, I believe, got $40.3 million. And, again, those numbers are probably changing. That was through mid-June. And we've, you know, talked with those hospitals via statements. It would be nice to have interviews, but they don't give them to us.
And they've said that
they're just still tip of the iceberg in terms of recovering their money that they've spent here.
So what does this mean then? I mean, obviously the investigation is going to continue to find out where this, you know, a lot of this money went and but what does it mean in the bigger picture?
It's a tough question, just because we, as a country, we had this very immediate crisis we had to deal with, and the feds wanted to get the money out quickly through the CARES Act so the economy didn't nosedive more than it did. And they were trying to keep people employed. They were trying to keep hospitals supplied through the surge because, you know, as you were quoting our report, they were out on the open market fighting for PPE, paying tremendous amounts of overtime in some cases for certain employees. But then at the same time, you know, we're hearing about that other units were shut down or employees were laid off. And to be fair, the Connecticut Hospital Association did give us an interview and spoke on behalf of all Connecticut hospitals. It said that, you know, some workers, they just aren't transferable to other jobs within a hospital. So it's not like, let's say you're in a burn unit at a hospital. I'm just making something up here. You're not going to be immediately able to transfer over to a COVID unit.
Because you're not trained in infectious control.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. But still, the numbers are staggering. I mean, when we did the interview with the CHA, the Connecticut Hospital Association, it said they were estimating their March through September losses would probably be about $2.2 billion.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
And even after the relief, their lost revenue and expenses are going to be in excess of $1 billion, and that's Connecticut hospitals. But there's still the question on how much are you scrutinizing where the money's going?
Well, it sounds like it went to are they just reimbursing themselves because of the exorbitant amount of money that they had to fork over for the PPEs and the overtime rates for, you know, doctors and nurses and medical staff? That's what I'm led to believe just by reading that report.
Yes, that is what it was for. But, for example, I don't want to name specific hospitals, but there are some in other parts of the state that weren't in that 95 or 91 Carter that got serious amounts of money. And there are questions about, well, how many patients did you have? And we spoke with one person who analyzes this kind of data who said that the way they were distributing the money, you might say, okay, all right, we had 100 COVID patients, and the feds would say, okay, you're going to get, and again, this is hypothetical, you know, you're going to get $20 million. Whereas why not look at it from the other side and say to these hospitals, tell us what your per patient expense was for these COVID patients.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, obviously not everyone's going to be the same, but still it would give them a little bit more of a yardstick than some arbitrary numbers.
Well, not even tell us, you know, what it costs, but provide documentation, whether it's, I don't know, receipts or whatnot, you know, or invoices. Maybe it's better than a receipt, obviously. But, I mean, provide documentation that can substantiate these expenses, and then we'll reimburse accordingly.
And that's what we're going to be looking for going forward. I assume they're going to do that. One of the things we always look for in the investigative reporting world are what are called OIGs, Office of Inspector General reports,
mm-hmm.
because certainly there will be some. I think on one of our prior programs with you, we talked about the way that the Veterans Administration was analyzing the preparedness
right.
for the VA facilities as the whole COVID thing was ramping up. And it was a great report that the VA's OIG did. And so a lot of times you get a ton of information in there. And I know we'll be following up with that.
So what is your investigations? I mean, what is it really uncovering right here? That there's hospitals that have been less than forthright or less than honest about where it's appropriating the federal dollars that it received due to COVID?
I wouldn't say less than honest, but I would say we're getting very little information. Mm. We're not getting interviews. We're getting statements. We have some hospitals in the area that have laid off, even though they got the money.
Oh,
and saying,
that's big. Can't do that.
Yeah. One of them, St. Francis, frankly. And they gave us a great statement, but they didn't give us an interview. They're not saying how many people they laid off or furloughed. They won't give us those numbers. So we're working with only limited information.
Mm.
And, you know, we asked and asked and asked for an interview, and they said, we'll give you a statement.
On a related note, I was speaking with some of my former colleagues in the legislature. In fact, I've interviewed them right here on these airwaves, where they're saying that federal dollars that came into the state of Connecticut, not necessarily hospitals per se, but to, you know, for the state to then reappropriate to respective divisions in state government, cannot be 100% accounted for. We had State Representative Gail Aviel on a couple of weeks ago, and she's a ranking member, and we're talking about, you know, well, where's the money for that? And she says, yeah, good question. Nobody knows. And I thought, at first, I thought she was just, you know, poo-pooing it, and, you know, and I'm like, no, seriously. I mean, she goes, no, I'm being dead serious with you, Gary, that we don't know, you know, if, even after grilling at a public hearing, the commissioners, the various, you know, the commissioner in her respective committee, that she's ranking on, couldn't answer the question. So I think it's not just occurring in hospitals, but there's federal money that's come into the state for various usage in various capacities, that has been, either misappropriated, excuse me, or just outright missing. That's concerning as well.
You know, look, I mean, I think that the House and the Senate and the President were trying to do what they could to get money out quickly. But now it's a point where we got to start doing some accounting for this. And like I was saying before, one of the great things with the Office of the Inspector General is when they come in and they start asking questions, you got to answer them. Whereas if it's me, they're going to say, hey, Len, we'll give you a statement.
Yeah, we're speaking with NBC Connecticut Chief Investigative Reporter Len Bestoff. As he normally joins us on the first Friday of every month, but we had the holiday last weekend, so he's joining us this morning. But they know that you are conducting an investigative report. They must know that eventually you're going to uncover something. So a statement wouldn't suffice.
You know, each individual hospital maybe is hoping that it's just we don't find out anything about them.
Oh.
But I'm hoping that at some point some of these hospitals will talk with us on camera about this, because I think people are owed answers.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, one of the things we learned in this whole thing is that hospital groups may get the money for an individual hospital, but then they can transfer it to a different hospital.
Because
are we going to know about where that money goes, who got it, and how much they got?
Well, because there's a parent company, is that what you're saying? So that they'll allocate as they see fit, then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to hospital groups. And I mean, I think the public is owed an explanation on how that's going to work,
or
how it did work.
So it sounds like you're hitting a little bit of a brick wall. What do you do in that case, Led? What happens when no one is saying anything? They're just offering canned statements and not providing in-person interviews. What does that then, as a chief investigative reporter, what does that force you to do? Does that force you to dig deeper, or does that force you to abandon the story? What is that? Tell me your thought process and how you proceed further.
Well, I'll tell you this. A lot of organizations, and frankly, a lot of political leaders, not all of them, think that giving us a statement means we're going to go away or we're going to do less of a story. And I can't tell you what a huge mistake that is.
Yeah.
I do give the Connecticut Hospital Association credit for going on camera with us and talking with us about this, because obviously it's not a comfortable topic for them. But whether it's a government agency, we asked Department of Health and Human Services for interviews. They gave us a statement. I told you about some of the hospitals just giving us statements. We're not going away. And, for example, like I said, we're going to wait for the OIG reports on this. But even more than that, I've got to say that the federal government has done a much better job in the last few years in terms of giving us data. And granted, it's because a lot of times journalists have been screaming for it. But you just saw the release of the PPP data on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on stories on that, by the way. And to be fair to the federal government, it did release data on the provider relief fund. We're hoping there'll be more.
Wow. So this is like a kind of like a to be continued then. I mean, you've already produced this report. I would presume that there's a follow-up in the near future?
Yes. We're not to give away everything we're working on, but yeah, we're looking at some aspects of this. For example, there are a lot of private practices that got a lot of money here, and we're trying to see if they were even open.
Oh, jeez, are you kidding me? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but I mean, that one's going to take some digging, and to be fair to them, we want to see what we have first before that's something we're going to put on TV. But certainly, as OIG reports come out about this, as the federal government releases more data, updated data, which they've been doing, I got to give them credit. They are. I mean, it certainly may not always be as robust as we'd like. I mean, I'd love to know more about all these higher level executives that are presumably some of them have given money back. But the New York Times did a story about this whole program and how executives, they got a much bigger staff than us, and they showed how some chief executives said, hey, I gave up my salary or half of my salary, but then the New York Times went and did some digging through federal documents, you know, SEC documents that publicly traded companies have to file, and found out that, yeah, you gave your salary back, but that was a very small amount of your overall compensation, even 1%.
It's not equaling out.